Whoops. All right, let's continue on now. Ephesians chapter 3, looking at the seven mysteries. And we're to the fourth one here. And this is the mystery of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, and look in verse 1. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Amen. So this body, at one time, the body of Christ was all Jewish. You understand that? When the Holy Ghost first came down in Acts chapter 2, they were all Jews. See? It was a Jewish body, but then God opened the door to the Gentiles through Peter in Acts chapter 10, going to Cornelius, and a door for the Gentiles was opened. And after God used Peter to open the door, he then sent Paul through it. And Paul went and revealing those mysteries, and one of these mysteries is that it's not just a Jewish body, it is a body of both Jew and Gentile, and now instead of two groups of people on the earth, Jew and Gentile, you now have three. Jew, Gentile, and the church. The body of Christ. Look in Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Can I get an amen? Even as Christ is the head of the church. Can I get an amen? And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Can I get an amen? Husbands, love your wives when it is convenient. Nobody can get escape, you know. It's one of them. It's like my kids, you know, they'll start kind of like, you'll see them sometimes when one of them gets in trouble, and the other ones are like, and, you know, it don't take within 30 seconds, bam, they're getting it, you know, and then the other one's looking at them, nobody escapes, you know. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Yeah. You know what? You know how God gets across to men how to love their wives? He says, love them as much as you love yourself. That's something a man can understand. Yeah, you never realized how much you hated yourself before, huh? Oh, boy, what a mess. All right. Verse 29, let's get Rusty under conviction. Now verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. What did God say with Adam and Eve? And when she was taken, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She was taken out of man, she shall be called woman. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. We are one body in Christ. Adam, Jesus Christ, is called the second Adam. Eve is a picture of the church. Adam was put to sleep. picture of death. His side was riven, picture of the spear going Christ's side and the blood being coming out. And then from that, new life being formed and created to put a bride by his side, the church. See? And that's the mystery of the body of Christ. Look at verse 32. This is a great mystery. And I don't think he's talking about the part there about husbands loving your wives. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he's talking about a husband and wife relationship and the ideals there, but at the same time, the real mystery there is what he's really talking about is Christ and the church and being joined with Christ, being that one body so much that you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Therefore, if someone was saved and they were to go to hell after they were saved, Jesus Christ would have to go to hell. Right. All right. He said, you're in his hand. And you thought that meant he was holding on to you, didn't you? No, you're in. Right where the hole went in, you're in his hand. Amen. That's the mystery of the body of Christ, and of course the connection between the indwelling Christ and you indwelling in Christ. You can't have one without the other. Just as Christ gets in you, you get in Christ. It's an enveloping thing. See, my son's been doing that in his algebra, and he's been looking at where you got these two circles in a union, and then they join over and they overlap, and that area in there, that intersection is called a union, where they intersect and where they come together. Because now instead of two separate objects, you now have one object that shares common area. See? You, which circle got into which? See, that's what you got in Christ and Christ got in you. All at the same time. That's it. All right, now, the next mystery is the mystery of Israel, the olive tree, Romans 11. When you think about the fact that there's a group of people that can take their family tree back to Adam, a nation of people that God says so much about in a book, and yet you see these people over the last more than 2,000 years and the problems that they've suffered and the tribulation and all that that's gone on, and yet you see this people still has the same language for almost 4,000 years. No other group of people can say that. None. But the Jews can. One group of people. One nation. One nation under God. And it's not the United States of America. The one nation under God is Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So who is the election? Who is the elect? According to the Bible, it's the saved Jews. Had nothing to do with you and I today. It had to do with those Jews back then that God allowed to see the truth. What? The mystery of the kingdom that Christ was talking about in Matthew 13. See? It has nothing to do with today and the elect and all that sovereignty of God and tulip Calvinistic stuff. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Are most Jews saved today? Why? Because what did God just say? He gave them a spirit of sleep and slumber. Just close their eyes. It's like you go to sleep, you don't even know what happened, and all of a sudden you wake up. Now you're alert. Now you can see. Right now they're asleep. They just can't see it. They can't get it. And you come by and you try and witness to them, and it's like trying to wake up somebody out of a sleep. Sometimes they ain't going to hear a thing you say. Other times they're going to hear, they're going to get mad. You ever get woke up out of sleep and you didn't appreciate it too much? Yeah. I mean, wives, do you ever wake up crabby? Or do you just let them sleep? Verse 9. David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say that have they stumbled, that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Who's that? Paul. I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Get those Jews jealous, get them envious, and hopefully get some of them to come be saved. That's his motivation behind it. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, not all, but some, a majority, really, of the Jews, right? There's still Jews saved today. There's still Jews in the body of Christ today, see? But most of them have been broken off, haven't they? Some of the branches have been broken off, and thou, see, a Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. You know what it is to graft into a tree, how that's done? And they'll take a branch from a different tree, and then they'll take this, and they slice them, and then they kind of join them together, and they'll put some kind of a mullion or wax around it and wrap it, and then after a while it'll just grow together and it'll just be part of that tree. You ever seen these trees? They'll sell them sometimes and they'll bear like three different kinds, you know, of apples, or three different kinds. You see, that's how they did that. When that tree was young, they grafted in different branches from different types of trees, so you could have one tree that might have three different kinds of apples on it these days. And that's how they do that, by grafting. And that's what this is talking about. Verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, in with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay, you're going to boast against the branches. Who are the branches? Those that were broken off. Who's that? The Jews that don't believe. And you become anti-Semitic. Bunch of Christ killers! We're going to... See, what's that? That's Roman Catholicism. That's what they believe. That's what they teach. That's why they got all nervous when Mel Gibson came out with that movie. Because they know what the Catholics believe. You all know Adolf Hitler was a Roman Catholic, don't you? You're aware of that, right? Okay. Do you know when they excommunicated him? They never have. They excommunicated Martin Luther for publishing the Bible. Yeah, and Galileo. They never excommunicated Adolf Hitler. How about Al Capone? You know what religion he was? How about all the mafia boys? You know what religion they all are? How about all the big cartel drug dealers down in South America? What religion do you suppose they all are? One guess. All right. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. What? The Gentiles. Gentiles, we shouldn't be puffed up and thinking, see, and getting anti-Semitic and all that. You better not do that. Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now somebody, I've seen people try and take that verse to show you can lose your salvation. It's not talking about you as an individual getting cut off. It's talking about the Gentiles. And eventually that's going to happen. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So God is going back to the nation of Israel. But until he does, we have opportunity. But we're not to boast against the Jews, or we're not to think that the promises that were given the nation of Israel are for us. And that's what most of these all-millennialist types churches are doing. They don't believe Jesus is coming back. They don't believe in the rapture. They're looking forward to building a kingdom here on earth. You can't. The kingdom's not yours. It's Israel's. They're going to get the kingdom. The physical kingdom is theirs. It's already been promised them. There's nothing you can do about it. You better just appreciate the fact you can get in on the spiritual one. Amen. And we ought to. And thank God that he's promised that one day he's going to go back to that Jew, and Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David, a Jew, as a Jewish king over all the kings of the earth, ruling and reigning with a rod of iron for 1,000 years on this earth. And Israel and Jerusalem will no longer be the tail, but be the head of the nations. And everybody else will be whipped into submission under them. What greatest nation has there ever been on the face of this earth? The United States of America. But it's nothing to compare what Israel will be. That little country the size of New Jersey right now, that all the fighting's going on about, why do you think all that's going on? Listen, if you didn't think the Bible was true any other ways, all you got to do is watch the news and see what's going on over there. And all that fighting over one little piece of property the size of New Jersey? What's the problem? It's this whole thing getting ready to come to pass, just the way it said. That's what's going on. Thank God. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. All right. So we have the mystery of Israel. And look now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll look at the mystery of iniquity. Does anybody know what the word iniquity means? Not everybody at once, one at a time. Huh? Right? Yeah. It's the working of sin. Okay? The outward working of sin is iniquity. Right? And it's iniquity abounds when sin is not kept in check. Right? It used to be in this country that sin was kept in check. You say, oh, you mean they were perfect? No, everybody sinned. They were just as bad as sinners back then as they are today, except back then it was kept in check. You started in school. And you started in the home. And you started with discipline and character. See? And then you started with, you did something wrong, you went to jail forever, or you were killed on the spot. See? That's all. Oh, the Wild West. Oh, yeah, it was wild, all right. It was so wild, you go in a lot of those towns and you go into that town carrying a gun, and they had a sign up there saying no gun, they'd hang you on the spot. You steal a man's horse, they'd hang you for stealing a horse on the spot. I mean, not 17 appeals and 14 years on death row. See? And listen, when you do all that, you understand you keep sin to a minimum. The idea was is the preachers and people feared God, and even the people that weren't saved, there was, you know, you didn't go against that stuff. There was a reverence there. There was a fear. There was an honor to the church as a whole, to the institution. A lot of lost people didn't understand all about it, and obviously there was a lot of false teaching even back then, but there was a general fear of God, and that kept sin in check and allowed God to bless this country. You got to the point now where sin isn't kept in check anymore. Now it's promoted. Well, yeah, sure, but we're just out to have a good time. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't hurt anybody. Well, what sin doesn't hurt somebody? It all hurts. It all causes problems. It all causes pain. It all brings death. That's the wages of it. All right, where did I say to go? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's begin in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? Verse 2, and in verse 2, the day of Christ. The rapture. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. What is that? That's what we call apostasy. Okay? Apostasy. And apostasy is a falling away from the right way. You look at the nation of Israel, and that's what you see. It's a decline. It's an apostasy. You look at any age that God deals with man down through the ages. When we looked at that rightly divided in the scriptures, and we looked at those different ages and the way that God dealt with man, how did it always end up? It ended up with man getting into a mess and then God having to come in and help him out and start him over again. Where were you before you were saved? God come in and he started over and now he's helping you. And you know what's going to happen to you if you're not careful? You'll make it a mess again. You're prone to it. But you have to identify that and fight against it. And if you don't, you will apostatize. And that's the church today. The church today is not valiant for the truth. They're not earnestly contending for the faith. They're not standing and fighting the good fight of faith. And the ultimate result is obviously going to be what? Apostasy. Why? Because the world's going 1,000 miles an hour the other way. And you can't just stand there and say, well, you see, you gotta be going whole hog the other way, or you're going to go right along with it. And that's all the church has done. You know, the world says, well, we're going to start bringing the dresses up just below the knee. And the church says, well, we're not going to do that. That's wicked. We're going to keep them down to the ankle. And then the world says, well, we're going to bring the dresses just up above the knee. And the church says, we're not going to do that. That's wicked. We're just going to bring them up below the knee. And then the world says, we're going to bring them up halfway up the thigh. And the church says, we're not going to do that. That's wicked. We're just going to bring them right at the knee or just above the knee. And then the world says, well, we're going to bring them all the way up and have mini skirts. And the church says, that's wicked. We're not going to do that. We're going to bring them up just halfway up the thigh. You see? Well, we're not like them. No, but you're following right along. See what's happening? It's a falling away. It's apostasy. It's ingrained. And the only way to fight against it, listen, it's corruption. There is only one thing that is not corrupt on this earth. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Why? They're corrupt. But you got one thing that's eternal that's not corrupt. How much of it are you putting in you? If you don't, you will apostatize. You will fall away. It's inevitable. It's like gravity, man. The only way to fight it is to have something in you to go against it. See? That plane ain't going to stay up there forever. It needs fuel. All right, look verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Antichrist. That's what the world's headed towards, right? It's heading towards the Antichrist. And the charismatics think it's heading towards revival. Think about that. That ought to tell you something. That ought to put a red flag up. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What does the devil want to be? Huh. That's his opportunity. That's his opportunity to join the army and be all he can be. Yeah, an army of one. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Why? It's creating a falling away. That's the mystery of iniquity. The world looks out there and says, boy, we sure are improving. We sure are getting better. We have space travel now, and we have medical devices, and look at all that we're doing, and we're learning about health and proper nutrition, and we're coming up with new ways to educate our children, and we're coming up with solutions to crime and poverty, and yes, we're making great strides for man, and you're not doing anything. But they think the whole time, they see it, and they say, boy, we sure are getting better and improving. That's what the world sees. What do we see by revelation from God's Spirit? This world's going to hell in a handbasket. Lord Jesus, please come soon.
Amen.
Amen. See, we don't look at it like the world looks at it. It's a totally different thing. And thank God. But that's the mystery of iniquity, verse 7, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Holding this word there, meaning hinder. The word let, just like in tennis. When the ball hits the net, what do they call it? A let. The ball was hindered by the net. They call it a let. Still use it today, right? So let there meaning hinder. Only he who now hinders. Say, what is it? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to search the scriptures. I'm going to live for God. And the whole time you're being hindered. There's something fighting against you. You haven't figured that out yet? All the time. Just get you compromised a little here. Just back off a little here, not to be so fanatical here. That's how it's done. And it's inch at a time, inch at a time, inch at a time. That's how the church apostatizes. All right? Until you'll get after a while where people will look at somebody like Joel Osteen and think he's a great Christian. Why are you always hitting on Joel Osteen? Because the Holy Spirit tells me to. Why does it bother you, demon? You're welcome. He's on fire tonight. He's all right. But anyway, so you see it in that whole thing. So what are we to do? Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks only to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You better get some truth. It'll help you. In a church of apostasy and in a world that's hindering and mystery of iniquity working, All that going on, the only place of sanctuary from all that is in the scriptures. It's in the truth. And sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. All right, one more and we'll be done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I like to save the best for last. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Okay. Is all these things going to happen? Is there going to be a falling away? Is there going to be an apostasy? Is the Antichrist coming? All right. Then I got something to tell you. Be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter is from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of what? The day of Christ. Okay, so before the world ends up hell in a handbasket with the Antichrist rolling over them, something's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? A mystery is going to take place. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's such a mystery, the Bible says, God shall send them strong delusion that they believe a lie. it's such a mystery that when we go up, the whole world's not going to notice that they were wrong and we were right. See, that's what you think. You think, well, surely, when the rapture happens, the world is obviously going to realize then that we were right and the Lord called us home, so then they're all going to repent and get saved in the tribulation. Nonsense. The Bible says if they had the opportunity to get saved and they didn't take it, God's going to send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Can the devil deceive people? He sure can. But what when God sends strong delusion? That's what it said. Huh? What about it? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wonderful. Sells tickets. Cha-ching. I'm sure he does, or at least thinks he does, or hopes he does. Thinks he's doing great things, and that God will surely reward him for that. But I've never heard a testimony of how he's ever been saved. That's what he said. Sure. Right. Yeah, he's doing all right. Popularity, power, he's got plenty of it. Right. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's the world's been set up for it. That's nothing compared to what the Antichrist is going to do. You understand that? If this guy, through the power, a little power of Satan, just a little, is able to deceive Christians with the Spirit of God, what do you think the Antichrist, with all the power of the devil, is going to be able to do against a lost world that has rejected God, and God sends them strong delusion? Hey, it's good to be saved. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, talking to Christians, isn't he, brethren? That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption, what's that, flesh and blood, inherit incorruption, what's that? The kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's die, that's the Christian. Because we never die. We already died in Christ. We're alive and risen again. We can't ever die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the blinking of an eye. No. Blinking, that's way too slow. Way too slow. The twinkling. So what's that? The speed of light. Yeah, that's getting on down the road. Sure. Now, I'd like to see a cop try and get his vent. Amen. They'd be grabbing the trigger. It'd be gone. It'd be too late. Where'd he go? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. How many trumpets are there? One. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we. I hope that's me. No. I hope that's us. Can I get an amen there? I mean, I'd much rather see the Undertaker than the Undertaker personally. And to think we could be that generation. For this corruptible, and while this is going on and we're preparing for this, the apostate church is saying, pray that God will give you a new car and a new house and get real comfortable down here with God's blessings for you down here. What are they doing? They're spoiling you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What? Why? What did I do?
Prosperity.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it's, well, that's all good. Everybody loves to hear that. Everybody loves to hear that. You're not gonna, you're gonna get plenty of takers. You're not gonna get many people saying, "Well, he offended me because he told me how much God wants to give me." It's safe. See, that's why they do it. Everybody loves to hear that, especially people that love money. They love to hear messages like that, and they actually think, if I give some money, I'm gonna get a lot more money. Wow, what motivation for serving God. Yeah, how about that? You understand? Now you're supposed to give. But if the only reason you're giving is because if you do, you're going to get, your whole motivation's wrong. God loveth a cheerful giver. It is more blessed to give than receive. Now, did God promise to take care of your needs? Sure, absolutely. He's going to take care. He's going to bless you, no doubt about it. But man, if that's your motivation for giving, you got the wrong heart. How did we get off on all that? I have no idea. You needed it. Somebody needed it. In a moment, in the twinkling, yeah, I guess T.D. Jakes needed it. Send him a copy. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Now, some of you all a little young, you might not appreciate that as much. The older you get, the more you will appreciate some of these verses. I know I could get an amen there. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's our problem. Folks, that's what this thing's all about. You know what it's all about? You're going to die. You know what it's all about? God made a way out of it. Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what it's all about. It's not about prosperity. It's not about, you know, sharing your seed faith. What was the missionary asked if we had the, what was the program he asked if we had there? The faith promise, you know. Say, what is that? Oh, that's a way to get money for missions so that the church doesn't have to give money. We'll suck more out of the people. Yeah. And that way the church will have more money for to build a kingdom down here.
Have you ever heard of Bishop Eddie Long?
No.
Black man?
Uh-uh.
He's on TV.
Oh.
I guess he's there. We don't
know that. Right. Yeah. Amen. Preach! Sorry. Yeah. Right. Good. Good for him. He can have it. When we go, he can have it. He can have my house. I'll give it to him. He can have my house. He can have my dogs and my kitty. He can have my cars.
The dogs will be in heaven, brother. The cow will show up with me.
Bible says without or dogs. So. Anyway, I just broke somebody's heart. I know it. I know I just broke somebody's heart. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. They'll be here to attack the Antichrist or something, maybe. You know. Probably more of them make it through the tribulation than people. You know, you got that rich man and Lazarus. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of that Jew in the tribulation. And the rich man is, see, he's taken the mark of the beast, and he's rich. And it says the dogs came and licked his sores. You had dogs there. And the dogs were helping out Lazarus. So they enter into the millennium, and then probably God blesses them or something, and you know, they turn into like you know. I say God blessed them. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. I don't know. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What is the mystery of his will? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, those that have died and gone on, and which are on earth, even in him, those that are alive and remain, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated to be saved. No, not talking about being saved. It's about an inheritance. It's about a mystery that one day we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, see, to obtain an inheritance, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, who knew him also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. That's the earnest money you put on a house. See? Once you do that, it's yours. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us his earnest. He's got the down payment. He just hasn't come to pick it up yet. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. He bought us. Unto the praise of his glory. It's kind of like the payment's been made and we're on layaway. And then one day soon the Lord's going to come and he's going to take care of it and he's going to pick up what he's purchased. Amen? That's what we look forward to. That's what we long for. Back in 1 Corinthians 2 and we'll be done. Do you understand these seven mysteries are something the world knows nothing about, can't see, can't understand? You could talk to them till you're blue in the face, and unless you're starting with that mystery of the gospel, you're not going to get anywhere with them. It has to start there. It has to start by faith. It has to start by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And from there, the Holy Spirit will reveal these mysteries to you, and they'll no longer be mysteries. They shouldn't be mysteries to the people of God. Like she said, there's some preacher on there making fun of the rapture, thinking people are going to be leaving. Well, that's because to him it's a mystery. Why? If it's only God's Spirit that can reveal it, what is he testified to? Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might speak with tongues and prophesy and have women preachers. I guess that's how they all read it today, so I thought maybe I had a misinterpretation or something. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. All these things, all these mysteries, all that God has shown tonight and every time we meet, and all that God reveals to us about that inheritance and about our new body, all those things, to understand that all of it has freely been given to us simply because we said yes to God and believed the gospel. We obeyed the gospel, and we have eternal life because of it. Amen. All right, that concludes the study. Really quick, any questions on anything that we've covered this evening? Anything that you were kind of wondering about that I mentioned or said? I know you wondered a lot about what Rusty said, but that's, I can't help you there. But anybody have anything? Okay, good. We'll go ahead and close in prayer and be done for the evening. Ryan, would you close us in prayer, please?